Feelingly standing in great need of divine help, I must venture this evening in directing your thoughts to the chapter that we have read in the book of Job, chapter 28, and reading the last verse, verse 28 in that chapter. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You may notice that the little word is in this verse has been put in by the godly translators of our Bible. If we leave that out, we would read it like this. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that wisdom, and to depart from evil, understanding. Surely we would agree how vital then is this little word is. In our home this morning, we read Psalm 111. How thankful we are, and I'm sure there are those here that will agree with this thought, how thankful we are, whether as we read God's word in secret, or around the family altar, or indeed in his house, how thankful we are when we are favored to understand a little, and sometimes a little more, the truths that we read. I felt it to be so this morning regarding that 111th Psalm. And the last verse of that Psalm says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. And whilst in prayer, I felt to be given this last verse in the chapter that we have now read. And I feel this, as I may be helped, there is great need for us to come a little more to the true meaning of verse 28, as we must look a little into the psalm itself, because there is much teaching that I hope, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will lead us more feelingly into the text. My first thought regarding the psalm then, in relation to the text, is verse 7. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. And that is the path to heaven and glory. What a path it is. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he has told us what it will mean regarding the narrow way that leads to life eternal. Oh, he has told us that few there be that find it. And it is a narrow way, and the entrance into it is the gateway of regeneration. Marvel not, said the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Well, this path, this wondrous path, and it is marked out with blood. It's a very narrow way. Well, what a mercy then if through the new birth we have entered into that path and are walking in it, and with the hope that we shall be received at last into glory. Well then, verse 7 to my heart stands out regarding our subject. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. And I'm sure we would all understand at least this in measure, that a vulture's eye and that type of bird, they have very wonderful eyes. And yet what a thought it is, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen, cannot see. And the only way that we can see it is through those same words Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And at that time he didn't understand it. How can a man be born again and enter the second time into his mother's womb? But we do believe that he was brought into it. And I'm sure that the Lord Jesus was a means to that end. And it goes on here, and it says, regarding this path, the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Although the lion is often spoken of as the king of beasts, wonderful beasts they are, tremendous power, and yet they know nothing of this way that leads to life eternal. And then in this pathway, there's another verse, and it's verse 11. What does the Lord say about this path of wisdom? He says this, and there are those of us here this evening who, through the mercy of God, have been favoured to know something about it. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to the light. And there are those here this evening, if we were helped by the Holy Spirit to reflect about our lives, how true that is. And it's in this way to glory. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. Are there not some of us here this evening that would have to say, yes, Lord? Otherwise, we would have been overcome. And there have been occasions when we have really felt that the things we've had to walk in and endure would bring us into our grave. But we've been upheld, and we've been brought through great and sore troubles, as of course they have been to us. But then, what else do we notice in this chapter? Look at verse 12. This is where, in a sense, the subject matter of the text begins. After all that the Lord has said, and over the top of this pulpit Bible, and regarding this chapter, it says the excellency of wisdom. What does verse 12 tell us? But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Well, we know this through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We shall never find this wisdom in this world. We shall never find this wisdom in our poor, fallen, sinful hearts. And this sacred understanding, oh, it is the work of God the Holy Ghost. And therefore, we would come to this 12th verse. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Well, perhaps we could say at once that the place of understanding is at the feet of Jesus. There it is. And those of us who, through the mercy of God, as grace has been given, have been brought to the feet of Jesus. But then it goes on. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Well, listen to this. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. It never will be, it never has been, and it never can be. And let me venture like this, because it's God's word, and God's word, as I mentioned last evening at Eastbourne, it is in perfect order. And the way the Lord has burdened me about the ministry has ever been this. I have felt my great need to keep close to the word of God. It's in perfect order. And of course we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our understanding. I often have to pray, as the disciples were in need, particularly after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we read this. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Well, may the blessed Spirit of Truth enable us then to trace this subject out a little. Man knoweth not the price thereof. What is the price of this wisdom? It is the sacred heart's blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came into the prayer meeting here in 1956 in such great need, and that because of my sister Lois. Dear lady, reached 50 years of married life this Tuesday, and has had to live, and the Lord has upheld her to live with an unfaithful husband for 48 of those years. And I was burdened about her then in 1956. I shall never forget it. I came to the prayer meeting with this burden about my sister, and in the prayer meeting behind the pulpit here, which some of us will never forget, are our prayer meetings in those days. But that morning, dear David Buss, he prayed for my sister. He was evidently burdened as I was. He prayed for her, and in such a way that I wept before God in that prayer meeting. And I came into the chapel, and in those days it was my path to try and lead the singing. And I came in, and that day was a day when dear Mr. Stanley Dells was here, his annual visit in July. And his text that Lord's Day morning was this: "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Some of you remember how the chapel was in those days, the singing seat there at the back. Oh, but you see, I believe the Lord used that particular burden about my sister and the dear prayer of dear David Buss. He used it to melt my heart. And friends, if you would be favoured, and some of you will understand this, I know you will, but you know the Lord must prepare our hearts to receive his word. And I believe if ever I was humbled in the dust, I was that Lord's Day morning. And here Mr. Stanley Dells, he preached Christ to my soul in a way that I'd never known before or ever known since. But I really felt and knew, and I hope I say it with reverence, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, had cleansed me from my sin. Oh, the sacredness at that occasion. Now, I had no thought that I was going to say this. But I am aware that the Lord can use it as it may please him. So, you see, we come back to this subject. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. This is the way that the Holy Ghost would record this. I hope to bring us more feelingly into the verse that I have had to read to you this evening. I hope we shall find this profitable. I hope we shall find it a path of teaching for us. Because let me go on a little. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls. The price of wisdom is above rubies. All of us here this evening, in some measure, we understand a little about what it means to speak of precious stones. You dear ladies here this evening, and the Lord has favoured you to be married, and a day came in your life when your young man bought you an engagement ring. And I'm sure in one way or another you had precious stones in it. And you thought so much of it. It meant a lot to you. And I'm sure it still does. But oh, think of this. This wisdom. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls. For the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued for or with pure gold. Well then, the same blessed Spirit leads us on a little. In verse 20, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. Oh, but listen to verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And then the Lord brings us to this last verse. And unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, to be a help then, to try and lay a little of this before you. Oh, that we could really feel, all of us, here this evening, that the Lord himself is speaking to us. And that if I could be held to speak to you regarding such a subject as this, and I know it's a great thing to even desire or think, but oh, that everyone who has come to this service may be given understanding, may be reminded, may be taken back to when you were brought into this path. This path that the vulture's eye hath not seen. That the lion's whelps have not trodden it. nor the fierce lion pass by it. Oh, this way to glory, this way to heaven. Well, to begin with, what does the Lord Jesus tell us or speak to us about this path? I begin with his own words in John chapter 6 and verse 37. And now these are the words of Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, there really is the secret or the commencement of a work of grace in a poor sinner's heart. And there are those of us here this evening, and I'm very aware that we shall all need the Holy Spirit to move within our hearts, and that we may be given grace to remember all the way which the Lord our God has led us, however many years it is, in this wilderness world. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And surely it begins with the new birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I suppose all of us here this evening may well have been brought into this chapel or any other as tiny babies. And we were brought here or wherever it was in our parents' arms. And what a mercy for any poor sinner to be born into a home where God is feared. Why we need much grace not to forget this. And those of us here this evening who were favoured with dear godly parents, what a favour that is. An unspeakable favour to be brought up in a home where God is feared, where the word of God is read, where it is prayed over, and where as children, I remember so well, there was a time in my boyhood when I used to wish, my father didn't have to do this. I didn't like it. I didn't want to listen. It meant nothing to me. And all the years until I was 20 years old and I worshipped in this chapel, although I didn't worship, 'tis true I came here. 'Tis true I went into the Sunday school. I feel ashamed as I think about it. And all through those years until memorable Lord's Day evening in my life, and I humbly trust that the Spirit of God quickened my soul into life, and that through the Word of God. And I was brought then for the first time. There may be those of you here this evening who perhaps it was never so like that in our childhood. But some parents, they teach their children little prayers. They may teach them to read their Bibles when they go to bed at night, encourage them to pray. It was not like that in my childhood. Well, of course, my own dear mother died when I was only 6 years old. But you see, dear friends, what I'm trying to convey to you is the work of God the Holy Ghost. And that word I have brought before you, it's the word of Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, do we remember at least when we were first brought there? Yes, when you and I were first brought there. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. Oh, do we remember when we did first? I hope the Holy Spirit will go round these pews this evening and speak to every one of us. Oh, to speak to every one of us, that we may be taken back to our beginning, if indeed we had one. And if we did, we won't be able to forget it. You remember when you were first brought, and through mercy it may have been when you were only a little child. It was never like that with me. I must acknowledge it. The grace of God is sovereign, rich and free. But oh, when that time does come in a poor sinner's life, well, nothing can frustrate it. Nothing can frustrate it. Why, I just think of ungodly King Manasseh and all the years that he went on in sin. We're told that he made the streets of Jerusalem to run with blood. And it went on and on. We're told that he made his children to pass through the fire to those wicked gods who were worshipped. A dreadful process. And sometimes the child would die. But you know, a day did come, and the Lord used means. He was taken into captivity. He was put in irons. And there the Lord met with him. Then he began to pray. Then he began to seek God. Then the wisdom, then the fear of God commenced to move within his soul. Now that is just what happens when any poor sinner is born again. They are then, the blessed Spirit then imparts to them and implants within them the tender fear of God. Well, do we remember when we first began to really fear God? I thought in the vestry of what is recorded of King Josiah while he was yet young. And of course with him he was 16. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the Lord God of David, his father. Spiritual life was imparted. He began to be in want. He began to feel a need of God. We could use the same illustration of Saul of Tarsus. Why he left his home or wherever he lived with that purpose, to hail the Lord's dear people to prison. But you see, there was, the day had come. Can we remember? You may not remember a particular day, but can you remember a particular time in your life? You may only have been a child when the tender fear of God was imparted to you and you began to fear God. Now what was the effect of the fear of God through the new birth in the heart and life of Saul of Tarsus? Well, it was this, and he trembling. Now there is a mark of grace. There is an evidence of spiritual life. Do you remember when you began to tremble before an holy God? Began to tremble because you were made aware that you were a sinner. And when perhaps the minister preached about it, you weren't offended, you fell down under it, and you said, "Yes, Lord, that's me." Oh, but you may remember then the effect of the new birth in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now here is wisdom. Here is the path of wisdom. Motivated by the fear of the Lord. Oh, what a precious, sacred grace it is. And you know, we have a hymn that tells us about the Lord Jesus. Oh, if only it would just come. It has been upon my spirit often. In this his understanding stood. Oh, to think of Jesus. Yes, we know that he, of course, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And if I venture to use that word, he was full of the fear of God. But oh, that hymn speaks of him. I wish I might be able to remember where it is. I do not know if I can, if I could. Perhaps I would be glad, but it doesn't really matter. But that hymn that says, in this his understanding stood, Jesus. In this his understanding stood, and every one, now listen, and every one that's with it blessed has free redemption through his blood. What a thought that is. I'd like to be able to find the hymn, but there it is. And it speaks of Jesus like this. You see, in the wonder of it, in this, his understanding stood while he was full of it. I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Oh, his holy, sacred life was motivated by it entirely and without measure. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And another hymn tells us, regarding this sacred fear of the Lord, and it says this, regarding it, and the wonder of it, that it is motivated by love. Fear is a grace that ever dwells with its fair partner love, blending their beauties, both proclaim their sources from above. Now think again of Saul of Tarsus, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, the fear of God began to move at once within him. Has that happened to you and I? Has it happened to us? And there he was, he trembled. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now that is another very clear mark of spiritual life. And this will follow us to the end of our days. It will be a constant exercise with us. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are any of you there tonight? The Lord knows what it is in your life, in your path. You may have come bowed down in one way or another. You may have come to such a point in this that you've said or you've joined with King Jehoshaphat and you feelingly said, neither know we what to do. But there you are. Oh, this wisdom which is from above. Let me remind you of its sacred, what it really, really is. And that is in the Epistle of James. Oh, I've looked at this more than once. And it says, first of all, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now there is a description of a man who fears God, motivated by it. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. You know, the word conversation in the Word of God, it means our conversation, but it takes in really our whole life. How we live, how we move, how we speak. Now, if we are motivated by this wisdom, the fear of the Lord, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You see, this wisdom will always humble those who possess it. It will humble us. Oh, and as I felt when I came into this pulpit this evening, I believe if ever I felt as I felt it again was this, Lord, I need humbling grace. To think that ever I should stand here. It's nothing but a miracle of God's grace, I trust. and the wonder of it. But let me just remind you of the opposite to this wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But this is all bound up with this verse. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And there's no other channel but this wisdom. And here is the sacred ingredients of it. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or without wrangling, as in the margin, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, dear friends, if we possess the fear of the Lord, which is wisdom, oh, we should be burdened to live our life under the divine influence. Now, I must go on a little as enabled with the verse. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now, I do just want to go back to the Gospel of John and the word that I mention in the 6th chapter. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But what else does the Lord say in that same chapter? I just desire to link it together, because here really is how the Lord will fulfill the gift of spiritual life. And it's couched in these words: no man, no woman, no boy or girl, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. None come unless the Father draw. Oh, the Lord knows any of us here tonight that have children that today are right out in the world, and the Lord knows where they are. But let me try to encourage any poor trembling father or mother here this evening, even with this thought: they are not beyond the limit of God's love. Oh, think of your case and my case, fenced with Jehovah's shells and wills, firm as the everlasting hills. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn their feet to Zion's hill. You know, I look back to a day many years ago when our son Brian and myself, we had our dear father-in-law's van, and we went up to Oxford to get all the books, a whole case full of books that our son Bernard had used in his studies in Christchurch University. Oh, but you know, there was such a contrast to those two sons. One of them, through God's grace, feared God, and that from his youth. The other, and still is, as far from God as sheep can run, as far as we can understand. But I shall never forget coming back with all these books, and my soul was burdened about this son of ours. And that hymn I've mentioned a verse or two of, Oh, how it was with me in that journey from Oxford. The appointed time. Rose on apace. Not to propose, but call by grace. To change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Oh, what a journey it was to me. And now this son of ours. And yet there he is. Still in the world and of it. And yet, he's not beyond the limits of God's love. Oh, we have the record in Holy Writ, do we not, of some poor, vile sinners. Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord cast seven devils. And those that we read of, and Saul of Tarsus among them. So you'll see then, this subject, what a deep there is in it. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now I must soon say amen. But this is so bound together. This is so bound together. You see, those that possess this wisdom, those that are motivated by the fear of God, with it, there will ever be a burden regarding the second part of this verse. And to depart from evil is understanding. Oh, have you ever known what it is to cry with one of our hymns that says, may I from every sin, as from a serpent fly, abhor to touch the thing unclean, but rather choose to die. Now this will be a continual burden with those who truly fear God. There will be this, the fear of God within them. It's like a monitor. Speaks to our conscience. Motivates our life. And then we shall join with dear Joseph. I know it was in a particular way. And yet we should join with him when he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord? He was motivated by that tender fear. Oh, how he needed it in that awful hour of temptation. But you know, there's another word that I would just bring before you in closing this evening. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is why he came. This is, and you know that there's another word, I do not know if I could just turn to it, I may not be able to. And I cannot just get it if I could use such a word. I might be able just to read it to you. I've read one verse to you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But there's another word, and I may not be able just to find it. I wish in a sense that I could. That doesn't really matter. I have found it. Just to try and leave you with this subject. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. But what follows is vitally important. And to depart from evil is understanding. And this will be a continual burden with us in our life. Has it been a burden with us today? Because every day, you'll be made aware that you're a sinner. You'll be made aware of your failings. How short you come. But there's this word that I was trying to get. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now that's often quoted, but what follows is equally important. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, this is the burden of these dear souls, and it will be a burden to their end. It was said of William Gadsby, as he drew near to the end of his life, one of his greatest fears was that he would fall. He would fall. But much I fear, lest in some hour of sore temptation, I shall fall, and yielding to the tempter's power, faithless shall prove, and give up all. Well, may the Lord, in mercy, bless his own word. Amen.
Closed by singing hymn number 970 to the tune Newington 884. Hymn number 970. Holy Father, God of love, throned in majesty above, just and true are all thy ways, worthy of eternal praise. Hymn number 970.